This is Sunday, May the 12th, 1996, Mother's Day. And Doris has asked me to read while she brings a commander. And God said, Genesis 1:11. Then God said, quote, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. Or did he? To whom would God be speaking? To himself? Ah, so those who speak with themselves are, after all, crazy? Do you think God would give himself great counsel, or would the prattlings be somewhat self-centered, as seem to be all of ours? Now, let us assume he did speak of these things. In what language would God use? Would it be ancient Marzinian? How about Venusian? Perhaps Moonsonian? Let me assure you that she did not say land, plant, vegetation, tree, or various seeds in it. There was no language on earth at that time, assuming God was creating. Did God create your languages? Look at the Tower of Babel, which didn't even include English. I seriously doubt that God did much language tampering. Now that it is Mother's Day, let us look at that more closely, please. Did God actually use the term mother? In the Holy Land, the term was Madonna. You know, that sex object that flaunts her nudity and brings shame upon the most wondrous experience of men and women. The Lakota call mother Ina. So how in the name of anything can you say there are not possibilities of man's tampering, error, or foolishness attached to the Bibles? Any Bibles. Norma received flowers from a distant place and she ponders the meaning of the gift. You cannot see into the mind and heart of another, so the wisest thing to do is accept graciously the thought, which was once shared if you can find no reason for current interchange. These are hard times for all involved, not just the side who thinks themselves right. Both sides usually think themselves right. And certainly if one in a family errs, does not mean that all members of the family are in unified understanding. Perhaps all members do not know of that which another does. Let us leave judging to God and self and love that which is offered. I will say this, however. If you meet such as Abbott, Horton, or Horn, you know something is not quite right. So always question associations. 1988-1996, almost a decade. On May the 24th, 1988, Eckers, according to instructions from Santa Barbara Savings and Loan Association, went to an advertised sale of the property which they had purchased through a land contract. They had arranged to meet all requirements of the sale, had liquid funds, went to the proper place for the sale, and after assuring themselves that they had the right time and location, waited for the big event. It didn't happen. 8 years later, the pounding is still happening to them, and now the Green Brigade has joined with the assaulting attorney, who have taken uncounted thousands of dollars to keep the thing in limbo land until all are exhausted, dead, or at the least bankrupt. Next, in these past weeks have come an additional 6 days of miserable depositions in which a discovery master has to sit in the hearings to keep Mr. Horn from taking 16 days to do a six-minute job. In both of the Eckers cases, there was no relevance to any of the inquiries, only a gathering of whatever could be gleaned without cost to the Abbott Horton Green Brigade to find. They still found nothing. But let us look at how it went in a place or two. This involves you, readers, for this is the level of degradation to which your judicial system has dropped. Quoting, Eddie Joe Ecker deposition, April 5, 1996, page 297, starting line 8. Hatton's comment, keep in mind the deposition is supposed to be about the sale, an auctioneer, that didn't happen or show. Horn, do you know what a cult is, Mr. Ecker? Ecker, there are many definitions of cult, so interruption and overspeak. Horn, Well, I have Merriam-Webster's definition photocopied for us from the Ninth Collegiate Dictionary, so we can have a common understanding as to what one dictionary defines as cult. And if you'll give me a moment, I'll find that for us. Mr. Ellie, while he's looking for that, I'd like to pose an objection as to the line of questioning to have to do with cults. I don't know what that has to do with the subject of this litigation. And I understand that religious discussions, while there is some latitude in discovery, at trial are rarely allowed. If we're going to delve into Mr. Ecker's theology, philosophies, and that sort of thing, I would like to know, at least from Mr. Horn, why he believes this is reasonably calculated to lead to the discovery of admissible evidence. Eton says, again, keeping in mind that prior ethical standards of Mr. Ecker had never been explored, so why just explore after Mr. Green entered into the picture? Horn, counsel, I believe this is admissible evidence because it goes to your client's credibility. And according to information that I have received, there is substantial evidence that I believe is worth exploring that Mr. Ecker operates the Phoenix Institute as an alter ego. Mr. Ecker and Mrs. Ecker are involved in a financial cult where Mrs. Ecker lures people to attend extraterrestrial seminars to invest in gold, believing that Armageddon is around the corner.
Yes.
And there are court documents filed in a number of different courthouses with allegations involving the Eckers. Hatton says, the only allegations have come from the Green Brigade. Their fraud committed on the public and the fraud committed on a number of people who have telephoned me. So the purpose of this is to find out the character and credibility of Mr. Ecker. He sued my client for fraud, and he himself is the person He sued my client for fraud, and if he himself is the person perpetrating fraud on others, this is certainly admissible at trial.
It's also interesting how, I would like it to explain to me, how you can possibly set up a no sale. If anybody has a good answer for that, I'd be happy to accept it. And this is me. This is Hatton.
Ellie, well, Your Honor, I would think, with that explanation, we can see that he's heading into religious matters. And again, this is a country where religious beliefs are not just tolerated, but accepted. And we could get into an entire theological discussion about what is the true or not true religion. We can talk about diverse religions as compared to Hinduism, as compared with Christianity, as compared with Horn interruption. Horn, counsel, let me stop you there. I don't care about Mr. Ecker's religious beliefs as far as they are related to whether he's a practicing Christian. What I care about is if in the name of religion and Mr. and Mrs. Ecker are standing up there and spewing lies and defrauding the public to get them to invest their money and then bilking them out of millions of dollars. Ellie, those same allegations could be made about the Reverend Billy Graham, Your Honor. They can be made about any person who has some sort of managerial or charismatic position with any kind of church, temple, you name it. He doesn't like these religious type of beliefs, so he wants to say that everyone who invests money is being defrauded. Horn, I'm not saying that at all. Hatton, of course, this is the same party you ask Mrs. Ecker if she is anti-Semitic in her deposition, as if being for or against Khazarian Zionists makes her eyesight bad at a property sale. Ellie, this country was founded on a bunch of pilgrims from England and Europe that at that time were considered to be wackos. We can go into the Millerites, we can go into Jehovah's Witnesses, we can go into all sorts of non-mainstream religions in this country. We can go into Islam if necessary. If you look at all those various religions, a skeptic could find most of them to be false and fraudulent. But that's not relevant to this action, and it's certainly a matter of probing that should be strictly constrained. And based on what's been shown here, I don't believe it's appropriate in this forum to go into these theology attacks. Horn. Hatton's comment. Now comes a real reason for the inquiries. Counsel, you can. That's an objection better preserved for trial than it is for discovery. hat on and says, "You see now the line of questioning is one which surely will be disallowed at trial by Judge Wallace. So Horn is searching and seeking for something he can get to serve to Green, Abbott, and, quote, those who have called me. Ellie, I believe there is an invasion of privacy issue in this as well, Your Honor." Horn, "Well, they create organizations such as the Phoenix Church of Christ to hide behind these religious entities." Hatton says, "Sorry, this is simply not so, and all the saying it is so will not make it so." Horn seemed to have found some hapless victim who runs a Phoenix Church of Christ in Phoenix and has him tagged for one of his deposition interviews. Funny thing happened, though. This gentleman said he didn't know anyone Horn named. No sweat, however. Mr. Horn will badger until you wish you never were a Christian and begin to hate Jews. We understand, as things are looking nasty for Mr. Horn's own future within the Green Brigade, that deposition has been set aside, as has the one in Nevada. Well, I don't think so, lawyers. Those can do nothing but help you. You don't go to friends or to enemies. When you want truth, you go to objective parties with no connections. Ellie, but don't you have all the information already? Horn, what? Ellie, well, what could come out of this? What could come out of this that would give you more information than you already have and need, assuming that you're going to try, through the trial, the allegations that you have stated here? Horn, what I'm doing now is getting information on the record regarding certain pieces of information so that I have... I don't want to give up my strategy, but to pin Mr. Ecker down on issues that I believe are related to his credibility and related to his motive for filing this lawsuit, and that it is the Ecker's pattern to defraud others to get what they need or what they want. And this is simply another one of their ploys, suing my clients to recover real property for which there is no evidence and there was a check to purchase the property. Hatton says, and the copies of the check, the signed affidavits, and note copies were all removed from court files. And according to the clerks, only Judge Jason Brent or Stephen Horn could have done it. Moreover, is not a man's reputation before the act alleged the consideration of pattern of intent, not after the horse is out and dead? Besides, there is no reclaiming of property. The RTC sold the property, and the Eckers are going to again have to move because it is up for sale again because of this ongoing insanity. Ellie, Your Honor, I think we're going too far afield. If Mr. Ecker is a Christian and he believes that Christ was crucified and died on Good Friday, is he going to attack Mr. Ecker for this religious belief? Is he going to say it's a fraud by disseminating such belief to others? Hatton says, please realize that this was Good Friday. Horn, it's not a fraud. That's subject to belief. But there is purported statements made both in publications and under oath that there is this ability to communicate with extraterrestrials and communicate in the name of Jesus Christ. Certainly that opens the door. And Mr. and Mrs. Ecker has testified ad nauseum about her ability to do that. Hatton's comment. Mrs. Ecker was forced to speak of these things, and how many ministers and people in general claim to speak to Christ. You will never find Doris Ecker speaking in the name of anyone. That garbage comes right out of Abbott's mouth and through his tellings to the Associated Press. No conspiracy? I suggest you lawyers look a bit more deeply. Ad nauseum, Mr. Horn took almost an hour just interrogating Mrs. Ecker on the topics on which she writes. But remember, over $700 per hour is being spent, out of which the Eckers must pay at least $450, including expenses. How much does 6 days add up to at this rate? Ellie, I believe that it does not open the door, Your Honor. I think that it is exactly why we cannot continue to probe with this area. It has nothing to do with whether or not that sale occurred on that date in May years ago. Horn, it sure does. If he has no credibility and the jury doesn't believe Mr. Ecker, then his lawsuit doesn't succeed. Ellie, but, Mr. Horn, this country is founded on regarding religious matters, and you cannot examine someone on religious matters at trial and interruption by horn. You seem to be focused on a matter of religion. Cults can be financial as well.
Yeah, Ellie. This one.
Ellie, I'm not aware of that. Is that in Ms. Webster's dictionary? Horn, it sure is. Ellie, are we talking about an investment club? Discovery referee. Hat on. Finally. Why don't we explore the definition of the word cult, okay? Horn, I'm going to show you a document, Mr. Ecker, that we marked as Defendant's DD, and the word cult there is defined. Please read it. Ellie, I presume you're referring then to definitions 4 and 5 rather than definitions 1, 2, and 3. Ecker, I don't see any financial relationship there. Ellie, I don't see anything that indicates there is such a thing as a financial cult as you've indicated. Horn, reading. A great devotion to a person, idea, or thing, especially such devotion regarded as a literary or intellectual fad. B. Usually a small circle of persons united by devotion or allegiance to an artistic or intellectual movement or figure, person, idea, or thing. Ellie, I don't see any reference to a financial cult. I see reference to intellectual or artistic matters or literary. Horn, it's a group of people who band together with certain ideologies or beliefs. I don't want to paraphrase what the definition is, but Ellie, that's my point. You just did. You're not interested in the primary definition regarding religion. You're interested in a non-religious cult definition, which would be 4 or 5, the number in dictionary definition. Horn, I'm not sure I understand what you just said, but I've given this definition so that there's a common ground for examination. The discovery referee. Why don't we see what questions he would ask in this area, and then I can rule on each individual question. Hatton says, is this, do you suppose, the true intent of Judge Wallace in these depositions when he ordered no more than one day for additional questioning of Eckers before the depositions began? An off-the-record discussion. Horn. Mr. Ecker, has any of the persons that you've formed a Nevada corporation for ever accused you of operating a cult? Ecker, yes. Horn, and who has made those accusations? Ecker, George Green. Horn, who else? Ecker, George Green's attorney, actually two of them. Horn, has Betty Tootin ever accused you of operating a cult? Ecker, I don't recall such. Horn, what about Leon Fort? Who? Horn, Leon Fort. Has he ever accused you of operating a cult? Ecker, Leon may have. Leon is kind of a loose cannon, and he could have accused me of a lot of different things. Horn, and when they've accused you of operating a cult, what is your understanding of what they're accusing you of doing? Ecker, well, it's so far-fetched that I haven't given it any thought. My picture of a cult has, I guess, would resemble Jim Jones and his group of people who moved off to Guyana. Probably in Israel, there are groups who set themselves up in communities where they have a communal kind of existence. We don't have anything like that. End of quoting. Hatton says, I think to save time, I will just assure you readers that the Inquisition went on for hours covering topics as the visibility of Commander Hatton. And at one point, Horn asks if Hatton is, quote, the commander-in-chief of Earth Transmission.
And where have you heard it before?
This is a slip used by both Abbott and Horton all along the trail.
Greetings, Commander.
Another good one, page 308, line 18. Horn, does Mrs. Ecker ever transmit Commander Hatton's messages that those who want to be saved when the apocalypse happens should invest in gold? Next came an hour of a discussion of the understanding.
Let me stop right now.
Apocalypse.
I want to advise you people, and I want you to listen to me carefully. When apocalypse hits and we need to take off, I don't want you bringing your gold.
Yeah, right.
Now, please put that on the record. If you want to be saved, don't bring your gold.
Try swimming with it.
I think Brad Ellie finally did a brilliant speech in which he covered a lot of things. Quote, Commander Aton is one of the heavenly hosts, otherwise known as the host of the lighted god Aton, A-T-O-N. As a heavenly host, generally speaking, Aton, Soltec, and Germain Cortan are not solely interested in our physical bodies. They're more interested in our souls. There is a physical aspect. When you say saved, I'm presuming that you mean saved having to do with the soul. There's no saving the body. The body's going to go at some point in time. It's imperfect. The word apocalypse is a New Testament biblical term from John. And while it may have been ill-advised for you to use it, it connotes, as you have further explained, the end of the world. Well, the end of the world probably came and has gone several times. One of them, possibly the more recent, would be the one characterized as Noah and his ark. The problem, as I view it personally, for the human element for a period of time up until we have, shall we call it, an apocalypse or an end time, there is no relationship between lending money to the Phoenix Institute to purchase gold and, shall we say, the destruction of the earth. If you're interested in why Commander Aton would counsel people to put a portion of their assets in gold at this time, it would have more to do with the fact that the stock market is 5,500 and is at some point in time probably going to collapse. At least there are many, many economic newsletter writers making that same prediction. And it's a well-known axiom in financial circles that when stock markets collapse, the so-called hard assets, such as gold and precious metals, are a better store of value. So I think any attempt on your part to make a connection between the advice to invest in gold at this time is without foundation. As far as apocalypse or the end of the world or that kind of stuff, they don't connect. Purchasing gold at this time just makes good sense, at least with a certain portion of your assets. And that's a business decision.
And by the way, that's Mr. Green's business. Mr. Green, and possibly we should share some tapes with you. Mr. Green puts himself up as a money illusionist. He creates money. Those are his words. He creates the illusion of money. And I don't want to get into it here, but he created basically the program upon which the Phoenix Institute would work. I doubt that he felt that it could work at that time, but that was not his problem at that time. He could, at some point, which he did, just leave Eckers holding this snipe bag. Have you ever been snipe hunting, any of you? You good Texans would appreciate this and know what I mean. I don't think he really had as negative an approach when it came to Tehachapi as it might now appear. I think that he couldn't sort out all of the past experiences. If you are noticing lately on your far out program, sightings, what's the other one, mysteries, that you're even getting Britt Elders and Lee and Britt Elders making their speeches. Well, Mr. Green left them dangling. He left a motion picture being made with Wally Gentleman and Billy Meyer dangling. This is sort of a modus operandi. I don't have anything but appreciation for Mr. Green having passed this way for many reasons that I don't want to go into right here. But you have to learn. And he structured a program. Mr. Ecker made it work. We have said from onset there is no metals dealing here, period. Now, I guess we would have to clarify that you can get colloidal gold and colloidal silver from this general premises, but you have to go to Nevada to get it, unless you just happen to stop in and know the people in the business. I have said from onset, we are not metals dealers. The only involvement with gold, silver, any precious metal is to be held as collateral to borrow against. so that we can do our projects. There has never been any other projection, period. Those are loans against which collateral is held. And Mr. Ecker, at that time, and Mr. Green isn't going to like the sound of this, was the only one around who had the kind of a reputation that could work it out with the metals dealers. You see, you're talking the biggest gold dealers probably on the globe. Well, unless you want to go in and consider Goldsmith, who's actually on my team too, one of the gold dealers. It's all controlled. After Mr. Green left here, and this can be verified, you don't have to sweat what I'm going to tell you, as, oh my goodness, is Commander Hatton fibbing to us again? Commander Hatton doesn't fib to you. I may make errors, but you don't get lies from this place. Mr. Green tried to work out an identical deal with Mr. Cook. Now, was that investment rarities? Not only did he take projects and use them, but he tried to work out this identical deal for raising money with investment rarities run by Jim Cook. And I will also say that it didn't take that operation 24 hours to be in touch with Mr. Ecker. I don't know what people think. They obviously think I'm blind as a bat. And that's a very, very large error. Because I see very well. And I see both ends of your road. You will find now, even in your armed services, that they'll be talking more and more about the mind control. And there is a portion of the military that literally works parapsychologically in remote viewing. It's the most destructive thing they've ever come up with for an individual human being, to have to look and see for war, to play heinous games. It pays to listen to your intuition, and many psychic people are around only because all of you are psychic, you just don't use it. Dorma is probably one of the least psychic people you're going to run into. That helps us keep a little bit of separation. That doesn't mean she doesn't have the typical human intuition. And if she worked at it, yes, she would be able to realize that. All of you fit that category. You are in the period of time where more and more and more all of these things are going to be opened up. It's going to be harder to hide. But before you get to this point of being able to receive this information, they're going to try to close you down and get you so bound up that you're not going to be able to break free. But I'm going to repeat something here because I'm sick and tired of it coming back from George Abbott, George Green, and David Horton. And when confronted with these names, Mr. Horn only could just kind of hold his head down and say he didn't know David Horton. Mr. Entz says he talks to Mr. Green almost daily. Well, what kind of fiduciary responsibility would these two have? Mr. Green was on the board of directors. He lied in court and said he wasn't. He was an officer. He had signature capability down at the bank for the Phoenix Institute. He took with drafts made out to George Green funds from Eleanor and John Swofford. They were there. The checks were made out to George Green. They ended up in the Institute, but no accounting was ever done for any gifts. And it was sort of left that way. Well, we need this money for publication, so we'll take these gifts, unless they're earmarked. Well, if that is the only address that a reader has, where they're going to send their gift? Because Mr. Ecker didn't take gifts. Mr. Ecker offered loans and notes, because that's the only way the Institute could cleanly operate and be accounted. The UFO community, Mr. Al Bielek, said, "We all have heard," whoever we all are, the little group that does UFO seminars, heard that Mr. Green got to the Institute for over $10 million. Now, don't we find that an interesting term and amount that he uses, as the Eckers having taken for their own personal use? Then I would like to know why Eckers are still around here. Don't you think it would be more comfortable in Costa Rica on a coffee plantation rather than have to go through Mr. Horn? Let's use our heads. The Institute was set up so that people could loan money and we could make some accomplishment. Then comes back, "Oh, but you're just using our money for attorneys." Well, I want to have something that you people have to know something. The Institute is a corporation, and it is required by law to protect itself with an attorney. So you tell me how, when you are assaulted like this, and it goes on and on and on, as Horton and Abbott and Green can seem to do, and you are required by law to have an attorney, don't you just have to fight this game so that you can get it back? And I'm telling you, you are going to get it back with both the property case and these others. And these are lying SOBs. They really don't have everything they say they have. And you can't tell from one day to the next what Mr. Green is lying about. One day it's a coffee plantation. The next day it's two. One day it's I don't have anything. The next day it's I make $500,000 a year. One day it's I have a mini shopping mall in Beverly Hills. The next day it's I have a whole block in Beverly Hills. The next day it's, well, I have two blocks of prime business property in Beverly Hills. Well, which is it? "I also roll over gold," he says, "so that you don't have any tax consequences." And he does. He works with Mr. Gary Anderson, and they do some trust business, and they do some business with somebody, and get this one, Juan Hernandez, in Puerto Rico, and also Costa Rica. How much did get funneled through? And how many of you are mad as hell at Eckers because they let it happen? While these people sat on the board. George Green sat on the board. Rod Ent sat on the board as president. Well, he took $23,500 and then sold the equipment. What's the matter with you? What is there that confuses you? We're not in the metals business. We're not in the seminar business. We have never done a seminar. I think we'll start. And if you want to call it a cult, maybe we'll enjoy that too. But we're nothing except some people trying to make a difference in this world. And whether Mr. Horn likes it or not, apocalypse is coming. And it may not make it soon enough to make you have to swim for it. That may come first. I'm trying to get you some spelt-oriented wheat. And we've got to sit for days in this confounded inquisition. So we're going to talk about that other too. Dorma is gracious, and I also appreciate anyone who thinks they can get in here and stir around and settle. I don't want to settle. No more opportunity to settle, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to take a stand. And you better be making up your mind which side of the fence you're on, because somebody's got to make a stand or your country is down the tubes. The one world order has got you, and it's got you now. The only prayer any of you have in the financial business is literally to work up through. And you're going to be glad to have me on your side, because I happen to know Mr. Goldsmith and a few of your world leaders. I'm not interested in your money. Mr. Ellie's absolutely right. And I am astounded that Mr. Ellie spoke these things, because he sure didn't know what the hell had hit him coming here. We're going to be fine. I'm sorry. I wanted that interruption, so I guess I shouldn't apologize. Go on. It's Mother's Day.
Little reminder, and that's a business decision. This goes on for more hours while the tab is running, and then a funny slip happened to Mr. Horn. Quote, I'm not asking that at all. I'm asking what Commander Hatton has said about Mr. Ecker being God. Hatton says, it seems Abbott and Fort have testified to Horn that somehow we have indicated that E.J. Ecker is God. You know, the God.
Horn. Aren't you embarrassed?
I am.
Come off it, Ecker. Randall's right. Yeah, sure, Patricia.
Horn again. I am not asking for Mr. Ecker's religious beliefs. Mrs. Ecker is allegedly transmitting through this extraterrestrial to those assembled to invest money in the Phoenix Church of Christ. Pause. Ellie said, excuse me, you said Phoenix? Horn, I'm sorry, Phoenix Institute. Mr. Horn continued on, God. Horn again, absolutely. My question is, what has Commander Hatton said about Mr. Ecker as being God? Discovery referee, would you answer the question?
Ecker. Boy, that referee was really a dandy.
Ecker, surely, nothing.
I'm sorry, EJ. I'll try to address that.
Horn, nothing at all? Ecker, nothing at all. Horn, he just said, you are God? Ecker, no. The Discovery Master has it exactly right. All people are aspects of God. And I pointed to you, Mr. Horn, and said, just as you are and just as I am. And I should have pointed to everybody and said, everybody here is. That's the end of the testimony. Hatton speaking now. I think I have just probably made my point. There is no longer any judicial justice or truth, interest, only hit and destroy tactics. This was the second day of the depositions of Mr. Ecker. And even with a court hearing, it was allowed to continue on for another day, just for Mr. Ecker, and another day for Mrs. Ecker. The judge pleaded for a document, giving him an opportunity to pop one on Horn, but the lawyer wasn't properly prepared with the paperwork. And so on and on the circus goes, stopping where, nobody knows. Oh, there is a dandy conspiracy afoot, and it is hoped that Mr. Green knows it, for when Horn is sucked full into the nasties, he is going to go for blood. The only reason the depositions were valuable is that Horn divulged the enemies and all the ones who are working with him. If we had a copy of the last Judge Wallace ruling, I would share it. But alas, the entropy pile has eaten it, or it has gone to its proper place of filing.
I would also like to share this with you. In Dorma's or Doris's deposition, there got to be a discussion, and Randall will certainly appreciate this, where it was questioned about Mr. Martin and Mr. Lane and so forth, and proposals. And out of the blue, Mr. Horn shuffles himself and he says, "And just when was it that Mr. Green was working with you to do proposals?" And there's a pause. And he repeated it. "How long did you work with Mr. Green on these proposals?" And finally, Doris says, "You keep saying Green. I apologize. Mr. Martin. So just how long was it that Mr. Green worked with you?" Five times in two pages. Freudian slip.
I make indulgence here for Dorma, for after all, she too is a mother, and her Mother's Day, as with all recent years, in consideration of holidays, she has none. The only one of the Green Brigade that Horn denies knowing personally is Horton. I figure by now he also knows Horton and has given him a lot of delay tactics to use in Nevada. How nice for our side. The card on the flowers mentioned above said, "I am praying for you with love." Since they were for E.J. and Doris, we have to assume them not to be Mother's Day focused. So, where do you turn for your insight? Within. Many are caught in the entanglements of another, and I would simply return the offering in behalf of myself. Quote, "We are praying also for you."